Welcome to this week's episode of Testing Peers. This time, we're going to talk about what the future of testing looks like and testing in 2030. So you're going to join myself, Russell, Chris, David, and Simon. And let's start off by asking, Chris, what's that jam sandwich all about?
It was ketchup sandwich, wasn't it?
It was a ketchup sandwich.
It's a red substance.
So there was a competition on the interwebs that my wife wanted to enter, that if you were to win it, you would get a year's supply of tomato ketchup and £5,000 worth of travel vouchers. And it was from everyone's favourite tomato ketchup vendor, if you'd like Heinz as your number one. The actual competition was you just had to squirt ketchup from 2 meters away. So we were talking about it on our drive home from Kettering's premier theme park, Wixty Park, and we came up with the idea of making a tomato ketchup sandwich where I lay on the floor with a piece of bread on my face, which I think everyone would agree was an improvement. And the children would both stand on top of their climbing frame thing and squirt ketchup generally towards my face. They did so. We had to do it in one shot because I didn't want ketchup on my face more than that. I slammed a bit more bread on my face and had a sandwich. And
the wife slammed.
She did not. No, she was all about the filming, and yeah, there was ketchup in my ear even this morning. So apparently, I'm not very good at showering. So, anyone else put any food on their face this bank holiday weekend?
Not planned. No, I can't go anywhere from there.
Don't think. Did anyone else enter any competitions this weekend?
I would have to question the legitimacy of the competitions. Was it a Facebook thing, or was it actually from the Heinz website or anything like that?
It was from the Heinz website, but you had to post it on Instagram. And of all the people to actually be on board with competitions, it's the person that's won business class flights to Thailand. Probably she knows what she's doing.
Yep, I'm going to say you've got a track record, your wife, hasn't she?
Yeah.
So me, on the other hand, not won anything in my life.
I think I went through a phase where I joined one of these websites where it gave you the links to all the competitions. You used to go through and enter them all, and I literally would spend evenings entering every kind of competition. And I think I won in one competition, not sure what it was, the main prize, but I won the Ghost musical soundtrack as a CD. That was probably the most I've won. And that ended up being Music Magpie as part of a collection of CDs. So
never listened to it.
Yeah, it's just that obviously when I was at McAfee, we had a big thing with trying to stop people from entering all these silly competitions on Facebook that you need to like and share and whatever else. But that's a different episode talking about security and stuff.
It's a big, relentless data harvesting joy.
Yes. I once won second prize in a contest. I won a year's supply of beer. I was entering for a bike and won a year's supply of beer.
So that's healthy, not so much.
Not sure what's the first prize.
Yeah, I think the second prize wins for me.
Wait a second, what was the
beer? I wasn't complaining. And so a year's supply was a monthly crate of 12 beers. Oh, that made me 24, actually. So, yes.
Beer a day, nearly.
Yes.
Russell, you haven't told us about all the competitions that you've won.
I haven't entered that many of late, but I'm generally quite lucky when I enter things.
Are you?
Yeah, but I haven't entered anything in about 20 years.
Well, you already won the genetic lottery, so...
Well, quite, you know. Zinkin, obviously, you know, I won that lottery too.
Ooh, nice.
Let's make sure she listens to this.
See if she listens, yeah.
She won't.
Hi, Inken.
What was I going to say? No, I haven't really entered anything for a long time. I'm generally quite lucky, but only for trivial things.
Like what?
Like the hamper from the village fete, like a bottle of wine at the office raffle, tombola, that sort of stuff. Nothing too exciting. Nothing like Chris's business class flights.
And the Orlando holiday as well, don't forget.
Oh, yes. When I was teaching many years ago, I appeared on Radio 1 on a quiz, and then went to school and got recognized. Well, one of the kids heard me, which is quite funny.
So, David, when you were on Radio 1, who was the presenter?
I think it was Scott Mills.
Wow, he's been around a long time though, hasn't he?
So, yes.
He's in his 40s, isn't he? Top Eurovision host as well. So,
yeah.
Big fan.
He was covering the pre-breakfast show because I got up very early. And they did a quiz, which I had to ring in for. And
it was early, yeah. Scott Mills in, before he took over the breakfast show.
Yeah.
This, guys, is the best extended intro ever.
I was going to say, just to add to that, and I've got picture proof to prove it. As a kid, I won a Pontins Prince competition.
Pontins Prince?
Pontins Prince of the Week. And I think there was only three of us that entered. And I didn't... the other two had dressed up. One of them dressed up from someone from Greece and someone else dressed up in all this posh outfit. I just put my cap on back to front and walked up on stage. And everyone else, when they asked the question, do you want a girlfriend? They said no. I said yes. And I won the competition. So that's the only question I know I answered right that was different to everyone else. And I won the competition. So
that's pretty very special. Strange.
Oh, and my mum sent me the picture over the weekend. So if I want to embarrass myself, I've got the picture of me holding the number one plaque.
It used to go on our Twitter account.
So we've got ketchup and now the Prince, Pontins Prince. Going back to the dog theme, Digby once won first prize in a local dog show, and the only reason he won it is because he was the only dog puppy in the category.
Well, I once won a silver medal in the gymnastics competition where there were two entrants.
At least you didn't get bronze.
Yeah. Let's come on now. Serious. What do you think the future of testing is going to be? 10 years time, 2030, COVID-29's hit the country. What do you think it's going to be like? No, testing. I framed the question fantastically. 2030, what do you think the world of testing is going to be like?
Well, the cynic in me thinks that we will still be having the same arguments that automation is going to change everything, that automation is going to replace testers. There'll still be this big thing that manual testers are not needed anymore. But as we'll have proved over the last 10 years, from 2020 to 2030, there's still a valid need for investigative side of testing. Exploratory testing will possibly ramp up. Automation will need to get smarter with IoT devices taking over, I guess. So the cynic in me thinks we'll still be having the same discussions. We'll still be having the same arguments. The check-in testing debate will still be going on. And some of the discussions that seem to go around in circles will still be happening, but technology will have moved on and become more complex.
Do you think we'll be more in distributed systems versus monoliths again? Do you think that might go full cycles and we end up going to building big systems?
I don't know. I think the complexity will reach a point, won't it? And then it's, how do we simplify this? So yeah, possibly.
I would say the same as you, Simon. I think we will have the same debates. I think there will be a more of a push towards automation, to automate more things. But I think there will be potentially a backlash to go, look, you can't automate 100%. You can't, you know, and you'll almost be having the opposite argument that, you know, you can't automate everything. You've got to have some manual testing as part of it.
And I do think even in 10 years' time, there'll still be those companies that haven't adopted any automation or very limited automation because of the nature of their business. There'll still be a need for manual testers in certain roles. I'm sure development roles will evolve as well. And, you know, the next agile DevOps next methodology, the buzzword that's about at that point, everyone will go through that cycle of this is amazing, this is going to change the world, and then realize that it's actually just another methodology that's slightly different to the previous one. And we all fall back into doing our own methodology that's a bit of a hybrid version of all these different things plugged together, but works for us.
Do you think there'll be a bit of a dumbing down to a certain extent of unique testers because of the whole agile thing? And, you know, do you think it'll be more coaching rather than dedicated testers?
I think you've definitely got something. I think that's definitely something that will improve. The quality coaching, test coaching thing will definitely, I think, will push forward. I think there'll be more opportunity to educate and mentor and help the wider business understand testing and the importance of quality and build that in.
Yeah, I think leaders and test managers will diminish, if I must answer, and you'll see more coaches and more kind of that collaborative leadership type environment happening. It won't go away entirely because different orgs change at different rates, but I think you'll certainly see more people in that sort of test architecture / test coaching type remit. I'm always curious about how automation is going to change, because I think that's going to evolve as well. Not just will we be still talking about it, but, you know, the likes of AI in it, the likes of almost automating the automation will start happening a little bit further. Some will say it can do everything, whereas most people will say it can do more. And, you know, we'll build different frameworks that allow us to get better coverage cheaper in terms of kind of costs and maintain it, etc.
That was going to be my question. Now, what do you think the effect of AI will have on testing, if any?
Again, the cynic in me is AI is still code developed by a human. It still needs to be tested in some form, but it's just, it takes a different mindset, I think, because you don't have necessarily a set input output that you're working from. You have to try and learn, get the model to learn, etc., and test the model as it learns. And it's an endless amount of testing. So I think, again, it risk management comes in a lot more with AI.
What do you think, though, it'll do to actually the tester's job, I guess? Will AI itself make our jobs easier? As in, will it help assist us? Or will it kind of automatic AI that can actually learn what tests are most fragile and build them? It's obviously idealistic in my head, but you know, there's certain patterns as testers that we learn with experience, common strings, length, things like that, that AI programs could probably start doing.
I think it's true. I think possibly not necessarily in the 10 years will they replace us, but I think that if they choose to do that, then I think that AI could possibly do some of the mundane automated testing out of it. But obviously it won't make any difference to manual testing. And exactly as Simon says, it's written by humans, so therefore they will automatically put some biases and certain things into it which need to be taken out, really.
I think we'll be in a place in 10 years' time where code is automated to some level because of the AI systems they're using to develop code in some way. But again, it will fall back to a human developing some part of it that's enabled the AI system to develop the system. I do think there's potential that we may be in a place where the systems that develop the AI code will maybe also develop their unit tests alongside it within an AI system. So then, like you say, some of the simple testing may be taken out of the equation because it's already been generated by the AI system, and then it enables us to do, I come back to it again, it's the exploratory side that will still be needed to be used from a human perspective.
Yeah, agreed. I think we'll have a lot more different experiences. What do you think, Chris?
I guess my main thought is, if I look back 10 years, I can probably learn that a hell of a lot has changed in that time. So like 10 years ago, I think where I was working, We were not developing in an agile way. Okay, like agile had been around for probably a good 10 years by that point. But the way we were working was still very much divided by function. Even if there was QA in each department, it was still very much divided. We weren't working in those ways. And if I look at how the software tools that they were using has, and the architecture has changed along those that time, there's massive differences. Jira was using a plugin called like Greenhopper or Grasshopper or something. It's a bug tracker that's had lots of plugins to make it all fancy and stuff since then. And open source has become a much bigger thing. Like, nobody would have thought Microsoft would have been pushing for open sourcey goodness like they are now. We didn't have version control that was as good as it is today. Git has sort of revolutionized a lot of the ways because distributed version control is significantly better than what we had then. I think we were using Perforce. Do you remember Perforce? Nice. And all of these things were really different. Test automation was a brand new thing to me at that time. And as a tester, I thought that was the only thing I needed to do. Of course, over time, it's not the only thing, but I certainly saw value in that. I've seen the testing community grow hugely over this time. I've seen the quality of conferences, the quality of speakers and bloggers grow. I do think that we as a community have grown a lot. We've picked up a lot of different things. I think testers are significantly more technical than we've ever been before. I think we're more knowledgeable. We're more aware of the wider world. We can do our jobs from home now. I don't think 10 years ago, most of us could have done that.
I would agree with that.
And so 10 years time, it's going to be a radically different thing. I think conferences will still exist, but what will they look like? I think the community will still exist, but what will that look like? Will we still be using Slack? Maybe something more intuitive and amazing will have arrived. As for the actual practice of testing, that will still exist in one form or another because people still need that. And our relationship with risk will always be there in one way or another. And what we're looking for is confidence in our product. The way we release is different. So that changes the way we approach our testing. So, I mean, can you imagine a world where you're releasing even quicker than some places do now? Is that possible? can we tighten that feedback loop so it's instantaneous? How would that affect the way we test? Maybe DevOps doesn't get turned into dev test ops. Maybe there's like a whole new way of approaching software delivery.
I think something that a small murmur that's starting to get there, but I think there is an understanding that one solution doesn't fit all. And I think we will get to a point, maybe not 10 years time, but 5 years time, maybe, where there is an understanding there's all these different methodologies, but just because you don't follow the buzzword doesn't mean you're doing it wrong. And I think the culture of the community will change. I do think there will be more acceptance for the fact we're all doing things differently, and that doesn't make us bad testers or bad software engineers, et cetera, et cetera. But I do think you're right. I think there will be more, as technology evolves, there will be needing to adapt the way we do things.
Yeah.
I was listening to a podcast where the Ollycast episode this morning, we were talking to someone from Intercom, where they release 1,000 times a week because they release every 10, 15 minutes. In my world, that seems absolutely crazy, but I'm sure there's other places where that's just the norm. And I think there may be a shift to do things more regularly. Again, I think there will, the scale is just going to get wider. There will still be companies back in the waterfall V model every year, 2 year releases down to every 5 minutes, potentially, based on the risk they're willing to accept when they go live. I think you're right. There will be a lot of things that change. The community will change. The way we approach things will change. But there will still be a certain percentage of the community, a certain percentage of the industry that are still doing things the way they've always done.
I think that Chris makes a good point, actually, that, you know, as testers, we are catching up with technology. You know, from 10 years ago, technology has changed. And so therefore, yeah, obviously, as testers, we need to adapt, as everyone does. And how we adapt will be dependent on what tools, what methodologies. But one thing that will probably happen is there will be more variety. There will be many more options. And so therefore, it's trying to find our place in our particular company that's suitable for whatever we're working on. And that might become a bit more tricky, especially where I'm working, where we work on so many different projects. Like you said, Simon, one size doesn't fit all. But therefore, you know, if you've got 100 projects, do you really want 100 different web processes or ways of doing the testing?
Yeah, agreed.
We need to actually rationalize it, but also accept that we need to move forward with the times and we can't always be living in the past.
I'll go back to Lee Rathbone's talk, "The Mobile Phone is Dead," and how at the start of that he talks about the software that there's a woman walking down the street with these pair of glasses on that literally she spots someone wearing a red dress across the road, and the glasses automatically ask the person, "Do you want to find that dress?" And the system goes off and finds the shop that's selling that red dress, displays it on the screen for them in that woman's size, and she just asks the question, "Do you want to buy that dress?" And she says yes. I think that's not too far away from being there technology-wise. I think technology is going to advance to a point where there's a lot of other cool things that will enable interesting projects to be on as a tester. There's been these concepts around fridges that can do your online shopping for you by scanning things in and out the fridge and it generates a list and then shops for you, et cetera, et cetera. There's going to be a lot of stuff that's a lot more stuff that's going to have technology embedded in it that's going to require different levels of testing. And it's our place as an industry to make sure we're keeping up with the technology to a certain level to enable us to be able to test the new software as it comes up, and hardware, not just software.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it will throw up new challenges. You talked about the sort of those environments. How do you generate test cases for randomly seeing things in the street? They definitely throw up new challenges. You can talk virtual reality is the one that's kind of today, I think, which is, you know, how do you test things in the virtual reality? And, you know, testers having to figure out new techniques, new tools, new ways. And I guess seeing what the new technology of the future will really be in 10 years' time, autonomous vehicles may become normal, like the iPhone became normal, sort of thing. And depending on what automation happens, that might drive a lot of technology changes, because a lot of technology is about people adapting to it, absorbing it, wanting it. So some of the things you mentioned, Simon, there, like the fridges that can track things, that's been possible for a while. It's just not necessarily been cost effective or valuable.
No, it's not been mainstream, is it? Exactly.
Yeah. So it's about any of these technology trends become mainstream. If three-dimensional things come mainstream, will people get rid of monitors entirely? And will people use 3D glasses to view things? again, that changes how you see things and view things software-wise. So it'll be interesting to see what tech we use will change. So, you know, I think we're now all using laptops. I put money on, we are. 10 years ago, most people had desktops. I think, you know, laptops were a luxury or not that powerful.
Yeah, I remember actually having a desktop, and actually I could borrow a laptop for a weekend if I had to do an extra piece of work. It wasn't a standard, everyone gets a laptop. It was you need it for a special occasion, therefore you can have a laptop for the weekend kind of thing. Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
You go back to films like Minority Report and stuff where the technology all seemed very wary at that point. I won't say we're past that kind of level of technology, but I don't think we're too far from it. And I think there's a long way that we can extend further.
Doesn't Minority Report have people who are like sentient beings in it as well?
They predict the future. Yeah,
We're not far from that.
Okay. Fair enough. But yeah, you're right. Technology is going to change, but also so are the users. And so are the people that are making the software and testing the software, because people coming through universities and stuff, that quality
is still not being taught testing.
No.
Well, maybe hashtag make a tester should make a hashtag comeback.
One thing I was going to say was, in the next 10 years, I think there will be some disruptive technology, as there is in most time, and that will throw a curveball into all technology and may well, like Russell was saying, become mainstream, be picked up, and may well change the way we have to see or have to test things, because lots of then companies will then try and catch up.
I've got a prediction.
Go on. Looking for Chris Ball, Chris.
I'm looking for Chris to a ball. Ooh. Yeah, thanks. So have you ever seen the Divergent series of movies or read the books?
I think so.
Essentially what they try and do to push civilization forward, people are broken into one of five different areas to be. You choose that and that's what you are for life. And then there's one or two people, there's a group of people who are divergents, who actually are more than that one thing. And they're outcasts because they're a little bit more. And I kind of feel like what could happen is, like Simon has said, there might be some people who are still doing the old way of things. Some people kind of this, I think. I mean, it's potential that we could splinter off into like 5, 6, 10 different ways of working, identifying ourselves. And it might get to the point where everyone thinks this is now the way we are working. So we have aesthetes, we have UX specialists, we have exploratory specialists, we have performance specialists, all these sorts of things. And maybe they'll be more different kinds. But maybe, just maybe, we'll get to the point where people can actually go back to that whole like T-shaped type person. And maybe we'll get to the point where we've all been put in a box for too long and people break free. And actually kind of can prove that they can do more than those things, just as a wilder prediction.
Change that slightly. Do you think people are put into boxes naturally now?
I think people put themselves into boxes really often. I've had a lot of conversations on the Ministry of Testing Virtual Coffee where people define themselves by what type of testing they do. So there are people who say, oh, I'm only a manual tester. I really want to go on to this bit, but I can't really work out to it. Or people who say, like, I only work on this particular type of technology, say maybe I only work on databases, or I can only do API testing, or these sorts of things. There's nothing wrong with being a specialist on things, but if there's anything I've learned changing industry every time I've changed the job, it's that it's possible to transition good quality practices, good testing methodologies to different technologies. It's challenging and it's quite scary at times, but it is something that is a skill that transcends what we do. So I think more often than not, it is the advertising like stuff you'll see about things where they box stuff. And I think it's us putting ourselves in those boxes. And in between, I think there's a lot of good multifaceted divergent testers.
So I've got another question then. As leaders, how do we help shape what testing will become in 10 years? Do we continue to break down those barriers so that people don't put themselves into silos? You know, I know that everyone's different, so some people might want to be in a silo and want to be recognized as some people, but should we try and break those boundaries to allow people to have the flexibility and the options in 10 years time to be better testers?
I think that comes to the point where you have to assess every part of your team on an individual basis. And some people, yes, they will want to stay in their silo and the way they work, but we still have to give them opportunities to grow. And if we give them opportunities to grow, they may blossom into something that is more future focused. I think you're right. We have to enable those opportunities. We have to give people the opportunities to go to conferences, go to trainings, learn more about the trends, follow the community. And I know that's not everyone's cup of tea. Not everyone wants to be part of the external communities, but there's a lot of lessons that can be learned from keeping in touch with the industry in a lot of ways. And we have to enable that. There's no point us as leaders boxing us in and saying, well, what we're doing is what we're doing. And now we're not going to change. We have to be open-minded and allow our team to be open-minded. And I think it's also about getting the different minds in. We have to be more open to where we're hiring from. And I use neurodiversity. I've been waiting to talk about it for a while, so I'm going to use it now. I think there are options where if we open our pool of resource opportunities up as to where we get these minds in, the people that think differently, the people that think outside the box, the people that are not afraid to disrupt the way we're currently working and try something new, I think we have to be open to that as well and not always hire the same kind of people that we've already got in our teams. And that will open us up to have, as Chris said, more divergent teams, but also teams that are willing to try new things, learn new things, and progress.
David's got to get his catchphrase.
I was just saying, yes, it's culture add, not culture fit.
Good one.
I was waiting for that.
But I think also, in answering to your question, it is along the lines of, it is our responsibility not to necessarily shove people into things, not to necessarily make people do things they want to do, but to make opportunities available to people if they want to do other stuff, to let them know that that is a possibility, for training to be available, for access to wider community things available to them, to have a workplace where we're encouraged to try new things. And if we are leaders, hopefully we're in a position to influence what sorts of technologies, what sorts of approaches, what sorts of things we're doing, and then presenting opportunities to our people to do those things. And it's our responsibility to try and keep up to date with things, to try and make sure that we aren't the people that are falling behind and suddenly thinking, oh, are we out of touch? Yeah. We should be there challenging stuff. We're testers. We ask questions. We question things all the time. So position of leadership is a position of responsibility. Some sort of superior comes up with something like that. And it's true. It's also a sacrificial one. So, you know, we should maybe go and find those things out to let other people have those opportunities and not take that glory as well. I think that's quite important.
Again, I think you're right that because we have the community around us, we as leaders need to ensure that our groups are open to that and have that knowledge. We have to learn as well. But I think that if people embrace the culture, then they shouldn't be left behind, because they will continue to learn and be able to move with the times and understand that things are changing and we all need to change if we want to move on.
Yeah, we have to help people for that journey though, because as I think Simon mentioned, some people don't necessarily want to evolve or move on. They're comfortable. I think it's probably the best way I can describe it. The world around us does change and we have to learn, adapt, and what was the job today won't be the job in 2030. It may not be that different. Mm. Maybe actually, to Chris's point as well, we've got more technical skills. Maybe, you know, it's common that you can do web automation and app automation in the future. Maybe apps are more important than they are now. Something will come and we've got to learn to adapt. I always use an analogy when I try and describe this to friends and other people, which is teachers. David, you were once, so you know this very, very well. When I first went to school, teachers used chalkboards. They wrote chalk on the wall. Whilst I was going through kind of middle school, which is rare these days, middle schools, they started using whiteboards. Then they went from whiteboards to overhead projectors and projecting onto a whiteboard. Then they went back to whiteboards. And then they went to digital whiteboard. And that technology and those teachers changed. Now, there's not many jobs for teachers out there at the moment where if you haven't adapted to those situations, you will limit the jobs that you can achieve. There's still opportunities for everyone, different schools working different ways. But those teachers had to adapt to the technology to teach the pupils. And just as they've adapted to us, to those situations, we as testers will have to adapt to the technologies that we need to do our job. And if you don't adapt, then those people eventually, you know, there's fewer and fewer jobs for them. There are opportunities, but there's less. As testers, you know, in the last 10 years, I've seen a major push towards automation, web automation in particular. Testers that can't do that, if you look for many tester jobs right now, very few that don't mention it in some way. They mention it alongside other skills, thankfully. They want people that can do some form of automation as well as the testing exploratory.
I think you're right. I think people are going to have to adapt. I think the one point I'd say about the automation thing is it's become something that people put on job specs for jobs, even when the person that gets in the door doesn't actually have to use it.
Yeah, that's just stupid, isn't it, really?
There has to be that understanding that the skills are either needed or they're not. But equally, as leaders, we have to engage our team and show them the narrative effectively of where we want to get to, what technologies are available, and encourage them and make it exciting and make it interesting for them to want to progress, want to adapt and move forward. And if we can do that, we'll have teams that are keen to learn new technologies. They're keen to try new things out. Equally, they're also passionate about making sure we still have high quality products and not just trying tools for the sake of trying tools. But it's getting that balance right between good quality and new tools and bringing it all together.
We've got to help them. I think I've seen leaders who do not encourage people to kind of try new things, experiment, learn, or anything else. I've seen cultures where spending anything other than just getting the next sprint done, that was it. Don't look elsewhere. Focus on this. Just get this done constantly. Every single iteration, every single sprint. That doesn't breed the culture where people will improve. That breeds the culture where they're stuck. And 2030 will look like 2020 there. There's no way that will evolve. The world might move around them, but they're going to stick there. From my experience, good testers won't stick with it. Good testers will leave. So yeah, you've got to go to this future. You've got to build the culture that allows great testers to stay and grow and learn. And then in 2030, you'll have testers ready for that challenge, whatever that may be. And it'll be gradual. You won't suddenly be looking for someone out of the blue who needs to be a DBA expert randomly or use queue systems versus databases. You know, you'll not have this sudden shortage because you'll have allowed people to grow with the technology stack around you.
Just one final question though. Do we think that the podcast will still be running in 10 years' time?
I don't think podcasts that exist as a medium anymore.
You don't think they will?
I think we'll have a 24-hour radio.
It's just constant feed of us talking.
Yeah, just wow. Just Russell's beautiful sort of sounds of the dial-up internet.
Do you think we'll have brain implants from each four of us and we'll all be...
Yeah,
we'll
have to talk to each other in our heads. For
that. We're going back to the Matrix again, aren't we? We'll all be joined together and predict the future.
Thank you for joining us on today's podcast. It was quite a lot of fun. If you really feel compelled to reach out to us, we actually really enjoy getting feedback from our listeners. We've taken some of that on board. We've created podcast topics out of that. We've created retrospective actions out of them. And we really appreciate people taking the time to not only listen to us, but to also give us their feedback. If you do want to give us any feedback, please reach out to us on LinkedIn at Testing Peers, Twitter at Testing Peers, or email contactus@testingpeers.com. And if you like what we're doing, please feel compelled, perhaps by this heartfelt thing, to support us on Patreon at patreon.com/testingpeers. And if you've got some great ideas about what testing might be like in 10 years' time, or if you're listening to this in 2030 and you want to sort of chastise us for our ridiculous predictions, then please feel free to do so. But thank you.
For now, it's goodbye from the Testing Peers.
Goodbye.